at some point at the corner, which will be in turn 11 members present. But we'll come back to that one later on our level. But we'll have to need a quorum for us to pass the legislation. Currently we are 7. So we need another 4 members for us to pass the legislation. Okay. Because it may, what we suggest we should do, Democratic Alliance is joining us as well. I'm hoping other parties will join us as we proceed. Well, honorable members, firstly, just to recap on the foodstuff legislation, you will recall that it was referred from us, it went to the NCOP. From the NCOP, it came back to us, in particular around 1 certain technical amendments and 2 fundamental amendments from the NCOP around the definition of molasses. And it was the view of the portfolio committee that the definition as proposed by the NCOP on molasses was not acceptable to us. In this regard, we also sought the advice of the parliamentary legal advisors around particular aspects, and all of them concurred with our concerns, including the Department of Health legal advice. But I think the definition as proposed in the legislation was the preferred definition in this regard. It was then taken to the mediation committee, and the mediation committee concurred with the proposal from the portfolio committee, and thus the amendments of the portfolio committee were carried through, and the bill will be tabled, I think, today for adoption by the NA in this regard, therefore. So I think let's take that for note, honor of the members, and I don't think that requires any discussion because we've gone through that quite extensively. Shall I therefore refer you to the Tobacco Product Control Amendment Bill, B34-206. We all have the legislation? A copy? B34-206. And I'm hoping that all of us will remember a number of comments that were made by a number of stakeholders around this particular legislation. In this regard, I shall be taking you through the bill from the beginning to the end at an informal level. We'll come back again and deal with it at a formal level. Honorable Sibunyana?
Thank you, sir. I've just received a request from the principal member of this commission proposing that I should put the IFP proposal to the committee about the amendment.
No,
I don't know where it comes to that.
I would advise you to read what the proposal of your party first, and to what section of the bill it refers to, so that when we arrive at that particular section, we then come with a proposal for the political advice.
No, thank you.
Can I suggest that way? I'm comfortable with that approach. Thank you very much, sir. Honorable members, therefore, we will proceed from the beginning on your, I think our page one is just the cover and the title. I don't think there's anything you want to propose there. Am I right? On page two, maybe let's start on the bill itself to amend the Tobacco Product Control Act 1993, so as to define certain expressions and to amend certain definitions to provide anew for the control over the smoking of products, to make provision for standards in respect of the manufacturing and export of tobacco products, to extend the minister's power to make regulations, and to increase penalties, and to provide for matters connected therewith. Do we have any problem there? None. Be it enacted by the Parliament of the Republic of South Africa as follows. I'm referring to honorable members, not to the Department of Health. Thank you very much. Amendment of Section 1 of Act 83 of 1993 as amended by the Section 2 of Act 12 of 1999. Section 1, then we read paragraph 1. Section 1 of the Tobacco Product Control Act 1993, herein after referred to as the principal act, is hereby amended by the insertion after definition of advertisement of the following definition, brand element. Comment? Honorable Madumisa?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairperson. On section 1A, the word brand element, I suggest from the ANC that we take it out because it will be discussed later when we discuss the remainder of section 75.
Thank you very much. There's a proposal from the ANC because it deals with the question of advertisement, which are also going to be related when they come to the provinces. In this regard, therefore, the ANC suggests that we remove that particular definition from element. Honorable Morgan.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, the DA supports that. If I'm not mistaken, the department did at one stage say that probably it shouldn't have been put in it at all. It is appropriate for the section 76 law. So I think we should remove it.
So we all agree on brand elements be removed. It should be dealt with when we deal with section 76 legislation in this regard. Agreed? Composition means, welcome Honorable Nontan Kabinde from the United Democratic Movement. Thank you very much for joining us. Composition means the content, arrangement, or combination of substance included in the processing and manufacture of a tobacco product. Great. Then we go to B, insertion after the definition of Director General of the following definition, emission means any substance that is produced when a tobacco product is used. Ingredient, rather insertion, that is C, that is 1C, insertion after the definition of employed or employment of the following definition, ingredient means any product component material used to manufacture that component, residual substance from agricultural practices, storage and processing, and substance that can migrate from tracking into the project. E, insertion after the definition of local authority of the following definition, manufacturer, where the manufacturer is a company, includes a holding company or any subsidiary and any subsidiary of this holding company. D, entity other than a company, includes an entity that controls or is controlled by such manufacturer or that is controlled by the same entity that controls such manufacturer. Substitution for the definition of officer of the following definition. Officer means an officer in the Department of Health. Okay. F, substitution of the definition of organized activity of the following definition. Organized activity, A, means any activity or event which any member of the public attends or in which he or she participates. Roman 2, which is organized for the purposes of entertainment, sport, or recreation, or for educational or cultural purposes. And 3, where a tobacco product, brand element, or tobacco manufacturer's company name is used in the name of a portrayal of the activity or event. Honorable Matimela.
Sir, I think on F, under the definition of organized activity, this definition should be deleted and be taken to Section 76 bill, for it doesn't bear any reference to the remainder of this bill. Thank you.
Start from the ANC. Honorable Gareth Moffat.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I concur with that proposal.
We therefore agree that organized activity be removed from this bill. Thank you very much. FB, F but excludes any event arranged by a manufacturer, importer, distributor, or retailer of a tobacco product where only its shareholders or its employees or their spouses or partners attend. Where are you, Honourable Member?
Sir, maybe one is going to be lost now. I was thinking when we delete F, we are deleting F in its totality or in its entirety. So are we really going back to B now?
Are we all agreed in that approach? So F in its totality is that by deleted. Agreed? Thank you, Honorable Martinella. Therefore we go to G. Insertion after the definition of private dwelling of the following definition, public conveyance includes transporting people by means of any commercial or chartered aircraft, ship, boat, train, bus, minibus, or taxi.
Okay.
H, substitution of the definition of public place of the following definition, public place means any indoor, enclosed or partially enclosed area which is open to the public and includes a workplace, a club, and a public conveyance.
Okay.
It be deleted as it is an enclosed or a partially enclosed area. So that H must be deleted. As I just said, Comrade Chair, a public place means any indoor enclosed or partially enclosed. So I'm suggesting that it be deleted because it is an enclosed or partially enclosed area.
I think in this particular instance, this could be a portology, a petitioner of something that's already affected. A club is not an open space. It's a place with a roof, or it's a enclosed area.
But now I hear the removal is going to be for the club. And perhaps we use the partially enclosed so they
exist. So the ANC proposed this. If you are saying indoor enclosed or partially enclosed, why do you specifically mention club?
Yeah.
And this regard therefore delete club. Am I understanding you?
Mm-hmm.
You already covered.
Yeah.
Agreed?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Tobacco product, that is I now. Substitution for the definition of tobacco product of the following definition. Tobacco product means a product containing tobacco that is intended for human consumption and includes but is not limited to any device, pipe, water pipe, papers, tubes, filters, portion pouches, or similar objects manufactured for use in the consumption of tobacco.
Chair, I'm not sure if it's possibly worth discussion at this time on how, as a committee, we are going to treat the product of snus. As we obviously receive substantial recommendations and input on the product snus, which is a non-smoking form of tobacco, which is certainly probably better dealt with. This is the first time it's really ever been dealt with. So I want, is the ANC proposing that the tobacco product definition is sufficiently broad enough to include snus in it?
Yeah, I think on all the explanations that we have received on it has been clear that definitely has to be recognized. It is definitely whether it is not smoking or smoking, but it is a forbidden product.
So are you suggesting that we retain the definition as a proposal?
That's correct. That's correct. We retain it as it is, and smooth is also included under this definition.
There's a proposal from the ANC. Proceed.
Mr. Chair, I agree with the tobacco product. My concern, I guess you'll say we'll deal with it. Of course, is at the time when we come to be able to market products, where the snus will, as a harm reduction product, have the ability to be able to be actually advantage current smokers as a form of tobacco if they persist in being unable to quit as a substitute. So that is generally my concern, but at this stage I'll go along with you.
So we all agree, therefore, that the definition as proposed is agreed to. Thank you very much. J, substitution in the definition of workplace for paragraph A of the following paragraph means any indoor, enclosed, or partially enclosed area in which employees perform the duties of their employment. Great. And then we go to substitution of section 2 of Act 393 as amended by 3 of Act 1299. Clause 2, the following section is hereby substituted for the section 2 of the Principal Act, control over smoking of tobacco products. That's the section you're dealing with. And therefore, proposed here 21A, no person may smoke any tobacco product in 1, a public place, 2, any area within a prescribed distance from a window of ventilation, inlet, of doorway, or entrance into a public place, or any place contemplated in subsection 3. Welcome, Honorable Dudley. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you very much.
Chair, can we go back to figure 2? Any area within a prescribed distance from a window of ventilation, inlet of doorway to or entrance into a public place. Can we look into the practicalities of the situation? Can really this area be regulated as such? And if the minister, for instance, has to regulate, can she be really in the position to come and regulate in areas like this? Therefore, I would suggest that maybe 2, Roman figure 2, be deleted, this clause be deleted, because I think it would be very, very impossible practically for the minister to prescribe to some distances like this. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. These are public places. And I wonder if when we say minister, the minister has got to regulate, whether we actually mean that the minister should be there in person. But I think there are alternative measures that can be taken. If we can have to relate section 2 with section
whether that one that has got science and everything. I think it's seven. For me, I think, like if you look at section 7, subsection 2, on page 5, it actually says any person who contributes or fails to comply with the provision of section 2541 or fails to comply with any regulation shall be guilty of. For me, I see the relevance of this chapter, of this section here. Because for me, it's actually qualified by section 7 on page 5.
Honorable Tiger, Honorable Morgan. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My views on this particular Roman numeral 2 really go going two ways. I actually think it's a very good provision, not allowing smoking within a certain distance of a door or window. It's particularly because people congregate outside of buildings and can make a nuisance of themselves. And yeah, I mean, I think we have to appeal to reasonableness. I think there's no doubt about that. And I take that view. The reality, the problem I have with the provision is more what would the prescribed distance be, and whether the minister, I mean, you know my views, Mr. Chair, I don't like to give the executive too many powers because it takes away, in many cases, some of our own powers. I have a problem with how far the minister could prescribe it. So I know that the minister would probably be reasonable, but we just don't know. We advocate that amount. So what I would prefer is, in fact, that from a degree of certainty, we as legislators that amount, and perhaps we can come back with the figure of, say, there must be an international best practice of meterage away from a door. But I think the intent is good, and in many respects, I mean, I've learned a lot from this, working on this bill, and I'm fully of belief that smoking regulations are never close to 100% enforceable. And what we should always aim with them is for greater compliance, and indeed I'm sure it will come over time. I would argue that even sometimes a 20% or a 30% compliance on certain regulations is an achievement. And yes, it may, that particular one may be difficult to enforce, but it's not the minister, it would be local authorities or even building management who would have to do it. But that's just a thought, so I would rather we just say a prescribed distance, but I'm open to persuasion otherwise. Thank you very much, Honorable Morgan. Proposal from the ANC and the PA. Maybe from the for people from the ANC in this regard, is part of the reasoning about the legislation itself is to ensure that as much as possible we discourage secondary smoking. Because in the submission that we have received, we have been informed by a number of experts the dangers of secondary smoking. And it means, therefore, that I can stand outside the window and smoke and defeat the spirit and the trust of the legislation itself. I think the point Honorable Morgan raised is very fundamental in this regard. That what then the use of passing this bill if you actually want to delete this particular comment too? As he says, maybe the critical question. And in fact, in my own view, part of the policing of the bill has not been the Department of Health. It's been self-policing aspects of the bill itself by the people themselves, given themselves the liberation they've had in terms of smoking the legislation of our country. And therefore, I think what the Honorable Member Gareth Morgan says becomes to me very fundamental if indeed we are serious about the legislation we are passing for India.
We may perhaps therefore may even consider even an aspect of saying if maybe Honorable Morgan says the problem will be
how to prescribe the distance itself, even to say the windows must be closed. If the windows are open, there's no reason for me that I'm part of the meeting as the presenter is outside, I'm just standing at the door. I know some people do it. Stand at the door and participate in the meeting itself and then still sit here. It will really defeat the legislation, and I would align myself as a chair in this regard with the views of the Democratic Alliance. Honorable Mashida.
Yeah, as much as we have proposed that it be deleted, given the fact that of the practicality of regulating, keeping it within the legislation, I think it only creates an empty environment that in future, if there is a possibility to regulate and the municipalities, like as you say, will be able to implement the regulation. I think we will support maintaining that particular provision today. Just it will create that enabling environment.
Sir, my reading around Roman figure 2 takes extraordinary in any way around the prescribed distance and enforcement. But since all of us understand that we don't want to destroy the spirit of what this bill is intending to achieve, I would really say, in terms of what Honorable Morgan is saying and Honorable Masile is saying, it will be proper in that way. But I had a problem of only around prescribed defense and enforcement around it. Hence, I raised that part of deletion. Thank you.
Maybe just for the lawyer, would it be reasonable for us?
Maybe we're saying, I think the point may be Honorable Gareth Morgan raises the prescribed distance.
How far? And you may find that, like, how far is a piece of string? What would be the best way of formulating?
Still maintaining exactly the spirit of
2-1 Roman 2 in this regard. What would be the spirit? How will you say, if we say, I mean, I don't like this reasonable distance, it means the same thing. Maybe something within reasonability or something. But or we just leave it like this and hoping that the regulation will actually prescribe in a particular way. Honorable Fuyan.
Thank you, Chair. My reading is that the reasonable distance will only be determined by the person who complains about this. If it is my house, somebody smokes within a certain distance, which I feel it makes it possible for me to smoke second-hand products from the smoker, then it is my responsibility to say the distance is so such that the smoker actually contravenes my right to be protected from by this law. And another thing, I don't think it is proper for us to delete it simply because it is a safeguard to prevent people from indulging in smoking anywhere as they like.
So from your view, another from the IFP, you are suggesting therefore that we retain 2 as reflected here. Thank you very much. Honorable Morgan.
Thanks, Chair. So the problem for me now is merely the word prescribed distance. And here, I agree, we have to feel inside of reasonableness. There are a lot of, obviously, anti-smoking advocates who would really just want to banish smokers into their own homes. But of course, there are open spaces around. So if you think of, I'm going to use a hypothetical example. If you think of St. George's Mall, just down the road from us, where the buildings are, I would say, approximately 20 to 25 meters away from each other, you could have, you could obviously have a scenario where, for instance, the entire mall would be declared off limits to smoking. Now, I know some people would like that, but I would argue that that would probably take too far. So what I would like to suggest, Mr. Chair, is that we as a committee, we're so definitive about many other parts of this legislation from where you can and can't smoke. I'm not sure if there is a substantial difference between us maybe putting a meterage on a prescribed distance. And perhaps what we can do is, if we agree in principle to do that, then get some thinking in between now and next week from the department on what a figure, what they were actually thinking in terms of, they must have a figure in their mind, and then put it in it, because then we keep the power, and indeed in a year's time we can amend it if there are practical problems with that. But I prefer the certainty rather than allowing the minister undefined ability to set that distance.
Thank you very much. The problem is that we can't allow them another week. We must ensure that we finalize today. If they don't have any formulation beyond today, it means we live with restrict, what you say, the prescribed distance, and hoping for the reasonableness, as you say, is more difficult. Or maybe just exercise the word thinking quickly around this.
Yeah, I was suggesting that the committee chair, as the department is here, can't we get their views on this one?
Honorable Mashiza?
Chair, given the problems and the time that is required to amend this legislation, I would recommend that we keep the provision as it is, and hope that the department will be reasonable in the regulation. And after the regulations, if they're on practice, the distances may prove to be short or longer. It will be a lot more easier under the representations, to amend regulations rather than amending the legislation, which is a very tedious process. I think we need to have trust in the department that they are going to be reasonable in specifying the distances in the regulation, and help us to avoid the tedious process of amending the regulation if we come up with specific figures in this particular extent.
Can we maybe get the parliamentary legal advisors meet around this particular two. Do you have any opinion of state law advisors?
The fact of the matter is, before the minister can make regulations in terms of the Principal Act, Section 6, the minister shall not less than 3 months before issuing any regulation on this act cause a draft of the regulation to be published in the Gazette, together with a notice declaring intention to issue such a regulation. So there will be a public debate around this. The minister she's obliged to get public input before the regulations are made. So I think prescribed would suffice on this, Mr. McKeever. I don't know what the distance would be. That would be very difficult. I don't know whether the department might have an idea what that distance would be. But as I say, the regulations won't be made just willy-nilly. There will be publication of the draft regulations and public input.
What do I
try to say?
In our own view, And I'm sure, I mean, in that 3 months, there'll be, I mean, I'm sure we've seen the submission from various stakeholders. None of them will have just come with one view around the budget. And therefore, maybe that's why we say, will you be happy if we just say prescribed distance, or we put any other fixes or suffix in what we actually say here, and then we move around the submission? Just want the lawyer says to advise us here, then we're going to move. I've recognized your hand, the Honorable. Yeah.
I was wondering if there's been any discussion in the department around the distance. So maybe we could be informed if the department has discussed this issue at all, and there's any, been any suggestion of what distance would be thought about in terms of that regulation. And then also just to bring up that open window issue again, perhaps to consider that the it doesn't matter whether the door's open or closed, but it may well be useful to put open window rather than just window, because windows are everywhere. And can I just ask while I'm here whether I've got an odd copy here of the bill, but the word of that's repeated a couple times, is that meant to be there, or have I got an old copy of the bill? 2.2, distance from a window of, comma, ventilation. So, have I got you corrected? Okay, so if I could just
have a comment on why the word of is there twice. Can you get it back on both? Thank you, Chairperson. The spirit of this clause was to ensure exactly as you are. Has been saying that you don't have a situation where these individuals are smoking close to the door. The prescribed distance, we haven't got any definitive prescribed distance. The idea is to have it so that it's not close to or near the door. There's been discussion as to whether it should be 5 meters. There's been discussion as to whether it should be 1 meter. But the spirit would be to try to get some kind of consensus around that, and just to ensure that it's not close to the windows, doors, ventilation, etc. The second issue of prescribed distance from the window, we can just check the grammatical stuff around whether we use the repetition of the word off.
So I thought it says window of something, ventilation of something. There's no grammar involved there. But I want us to come back. You know, Honourable Members, maybe I think once again, maybe Honourable Morgan's point here becomes important. If the department has not even applied its mind around the prescribed, maybe we need to find a way of putting it that can pass us, that we're not going to be left with something there. That is not implemented as we move forward around the budget. You were honorable, I can't remember what actually raised in this issue. But we want to at least put something. Can we think carefully and then come back to this, maybe over a cup of tea? Just think carefully, maybe by then we'll have sort of a better English or better way of saying how we actually put this issue. I would request here maybe the lawyers themselves would have helped us also taking so that we can have, if we are passing something, setting, not something tomorrow I see as I move around, this is not the deal I passed. Can we all agree in that? We're going to come back maybe around this. Can we flag that?
Thank you very much. Three, any place contemplated in subsection 3, notwithstanding paragraph A, the minister may permit smoking in the prescribed portion of a public place subject to any prescribed condition.
Comment? Honorable Kabinde?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think this question should be deleted because under definition, public place it also includes a workplace. So if we portion some of the public place into a smoking area, so I'm not protecting those people who are working there, Chairperson. It's written, notwithstanding paragraph A, the minister may permit smoking in the prescribed portion of a public place, subject to any prescribed condition. I'm saying this section should be deleted because we are saying a public place also includes a workplace. So we are saying no smoking in workplaces. So my argument, Chairperson, is that there are people who are working in those smoking areas in a public place. So I think this should be deleted in order to also protect those people.
In my heart, I would love to agree with some of the opinions. But at the same time, we are not banning, don't want to ban smoking anywhere, everywhere. In public places where there indeed could be areas designated for people who are unable yet to speak to let go of the habit of smoking cigarettes. So I think that's the reason provides for that, for the right of those who want to smoke without interfering with the non-smokers. So I think the provision is such a way that it's correct and that the same people want to support.
Yes, Chair, I'm essentially
at
the also designated areas for smoking. Once again, the goal of the legislation is, number of things, but to reduce secondary smoke impact on non-smokers, and it has a rather broader and lofty goal of reducing smoking incidences. I think the designated areas are entirely reasonable, and there are prescribed conditions that go with them, and in the spirit of the way we've handled the previous one, I don't see anything objectionable about it. And in fact, I support this in smoking area.
Thank you. I was going to say that I would see it as reasonable and not interfering with the objective in terms of it having prescribed conditions.
So we would agree with that proposal.
Thank you very much.
notwithstanding the fact that a private wedding is excluded from the definition of a public place, of a wet place, no person may smoke any tobacco product in a private wedding. If a private wedding is used for any public care, healthcare, dignity, or for schooling or children.
Chairperson, we want to propose a Solanyana amendment and that is, we can't hear.
Yeah.
Thank you. We want to propose a Solanyana amendment to a change where it reads private dwelling, that's the third line, if that private dwelling is used for any commercial health activity. We want to change if to state it with while. The reason for that, as stated here, that where a private dwelling is used for during the day as a commercial health activity, as stated here, that when that private dwelling is now a place of residence, with the commercial activity as ceased for the day, then in terms of this course, smoking will be prohibited in that private dwelling. So we want to accept that people have a right to smoke in their homes, while that home is no longer a commercial activity. So replacing if with while will in excess cater for that particular need, and while the dwelling is a commercial activity, then no smoking should be allowed. But when it's not a commercial activity, like over weekends or in the evening, then if the occupant so desire to smoke, then certainly they should be allowed to do that.
Thank you very much.
Yes, I was looking at subsection C. That's the private dwelling. Yes, it's excluded from the wet place. But I don't know, because here it's saying when it talks of this section, subsection talks of private dwelling used for any commercial. So I wonder now if it is a private dwelling not used for commercial, but it's used as a home or a domestic home where we have domestic workers where do we put it in order to protect the domestic workers from being affected by this movement? I don't know whether we should actually leave it as used for any commercial reason, or whether we should add something there so that in a way we cover up the domestic servants who are waiting in a domestic home.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm actually making a follow-up to the proposal that has been made by Honorable Mandela. It does make sense, but one needs to make a small modification to it to say, experience, I think, has shown us that if you smoke in a particular building, after you have finished smoking, of course, the smoke hangs in there for some time before it actually clears out, which means that there will be a need to make some additions to the time when smoking ceases, that children for commercial purposes then can be able to enter the building to make sure that they don't find themselves inside the hanging smoke. inside the building. I think there will be redrafting and making more modifications just to manage the transition. Otherwise, is that if the building is used for commercial, starting at 6 o'clock in the morning, and somebody has just finished smoking just a few minutes before 6, and then surely we will still have that kind of secondary smoking. And one will actually just create an enabling that in the regulation maybe that can be considered. Thanks.
I always run away from relying on regulations when we're passing the legislation. Just as a caveat, I want us to be clear here so that what we pass is clear here. The regulation will be really the implementation, not the escaping of passing a particular provision of the legislation. Honorable Martinez?
My worry on this one, this private dwelling, if we are going to use it as a smoking area after its commercial activities. What if there are children who are part of that, the family living in that private dwelling? Is there any children who are living in that home? How do we protect them then? Just want to be clear on that. Children who are part of that particular family in that private dwelling, what then?
Thank you. You know, this is why smoking legislation is so complex, these kind of debates. And obviously they need to be discussed, because there is a point about domestic workers, I think that's true, and there's certainly a point about children. I think that's true. I doubt there is a member of parliament on this committee who believes it's in any way desirable for adults, we hope, to smoke in the presence of children or indeed of their domestic workers. So I think that the feeling is right. So once again, the chair is about, can we actually legislate? Is it possible? One of the things, and just I must, it's on the topic actually, I'm not moving on the topic. One of the things I would like to see us do, and maybe collectively as a committee, when we debate this bill, is to actually speak extensively about these areas which we accept. You know, a lot of people have lobbied us about smoking in houses where your own children or the domestic workers. And I think we should put a lot of emphasis and pressure on the department to actually actively publicize these kind of things. So for instance, if you employ, and maybe the department of labor, if you employ a domestic worker, you know, these are the conditions which are desirable. But whether we can enforce this or not, I mean, and that being, you know, if your domestic workers around, you shouldn't, but you can't enforce it in law. That's certainly my belief. I agree with the amendment that it should go from F to wild in this particular case to deal with childcare activity or for schooling or tutoring. There is a reason why that is more enforceable, because besides it being self-regulatory, it is quite possible for an inspector who knows that X venues in a suburb or township are child-minding places can go and visit there. There's no way that the inspector can visit 12 o'clock at night, you know, potentially 1,000 houses in a suburb. That would be undesirable and not enforceable. But yeah, this is enforceable. I think it's reasonable. So here, of course, a reasonable interpretation, if I follow from the ANC proposal, was if a inspector walks in and sees a teacher smoking in a room with kids tutoring or schooling or so on, it's a major offence. If they leave the building and the teacher lights up, well, yes, it hovers around. I don't like that either. But then again, it is, and you know, we also want to encourage people to start home businesses in South Africa. So they can't do this, but it is their home ultimately. So that's my view.
Thank you very much. So I think the critical question, I think, as we are saying here, is the enforceability of what we want to legislate. The domestic workers, practical it's a workplace, but in practice it's a private dwelling. And I think that's a dichotomy that is going to face us in practice. But here I think the bill is very specific. It talks of child care, tutoring, or schooling. So that it is specific, it is used for certain commercial gain purposes. If a house is a private dwelling, the domestic worker is not for commercial gain. Rather, the domestic worker is there to work in a particular fashion, but not for gain, technically. The gain is on the worker in terms of the wages and salaries. So in this regard, therefore, I think what we are saying here would be the reasonableness. Firstly, it goes back again to the reasonableness of passing the legislation, the enforceability of passing the legislation. And perhaps in this regard, therefore, I think the suggestion that says actually maybe the amendment to change if devised would suffice. But the problem that is confronting us is the point on our machine race. All of us, we know, I mean, you go to a smoking, at least you go to a pub in the morning, that is smoking the whole night. There's no smoking in that morning in that pub, but you go there, the stress is unbearable. That's the problem we're facing. I'm not sure that it's... I think that's a conundrum we're going to find ourselves in this regard. And therefore, the more the smoke is in the place, the more it sits on the curtains, it sits on the doors, it sits on the walls, the more it goes back to the younger children and they get captured in the smoking. And over time, it goes to their bloodstream. And this was the submission we learned over the last days we're getting here. However, myself also, the problem is whether it is enforceable. That might be the problem. So maybe Honorable Madela will leave with a proposal, or what Honorable Solomon, oh sorry, there's a proposal. Honorable Kade?
Thank you, Chair. I'm still having a worry on subject C, where the issue of domestic workers is not put in this legislation. And where closing this comment, we are really saying a private dwelling can actually be a workplace. So I don't know if we can say leave out the two last statements, or perhaps why can't we just wait notwithstanding the fact that a private dwelling is excluded from the definition of workplace. No person may smoke any tobacco product in a private building. Perhaps we leave it at that. Because I have a problem once now we become specific and actually say if it's used for any commercial. If it is for any commercial use, I really have a problem with that. So why don't we just leave it at private building? Because for me, it's going to raise a lot of questions to say, if we are going to protect only the private place where the commercial is, what about a private place which is a workplace for domestic workers? Are we saying those people can go on and on and on and on unprotected? So for me, it makes sense if we just stop at the private place and we remove all these other.
Would it be a solution that if we're saying when that private dwelling is used for any commercial childcare activity or further, or domestic or work or used as a workplace? You know, so because in that case you're not actually blocking people from smoking after hours or when that person knocks off. But while you've got other people working in your house for whatever reason, whether it's domestic or whatever, because you could have people in there working in clerical work or, you know, you could do other things in a house besides domestic work. So again, then we're just adding it as another situation under the when.
private dwelling, when that private dwelling is used instead of here.
Yeah, why? During the period that that dwelling is used for commercial childcare activity, comma, schooling, comma, tutoring, comma, other, what would you call it?
See, the problem is that I'm saying this, I know from my mother was domestic for many years. You know, you just integrate in a house, you know. There is no definition of worker in that house. You are just in that house whilst the family is doing all other things. How then, I mean, if you, how many domestics are there in the country? It would mean you are just saying each house must be produced for domestics and therefore for smoking in that house. But you are raising a very important point that I think this amendment when our Magella doesn't cater for. That we are also finding certain instances where private dwellings are used as offices. People use those places as offices in their own houses. That's a different matter at all. And that's why I'm saying that there's a proposal they are coming up with makes a lot of sense. Of course, minor domestic. But because you are going to find some of them as secretariat or somebody, there's a lot of gravitation of people using their houses as offices and use that for a number of tax opportunities such as there is a good thing to offset, etc. And in that way, therefore, what you will then minus the domestic use, it may make sense to me. But this domestic thing, I get the point in terms of the health concerns, etc. I'm always more on the concern of practicability of what we put in, I think somebody used the word reasonableness of what we put. So maybe what you are saying is, well, the problem with this provision, it only talks of child care, schooling, and children, and forgets this big aspect that they talk about. Anna Badella?
Thank you, Chair. I think it's in the light of what the Honourable has indicated, I would want to suggest that we make a following amendment by saying that while the private dwelling is used for any commercial activity, and stop it there. But this has to disclose, it's trying to address the needs and safety and welfare of children. But indeed, all the private dwellings are used broader than that. And I think that is the point that I mean. Right? So certainly, you know, because there are lawyer firms, located in Iowa, various businesses that are located in private dwellings. But I think the issue of domestic workers is something we certainly have to look more carefully. So we do have a health and safety action that indeed address the rights of workers, their health concerns, etc. We indeed have a labor relations act that also defines workplaces, and indeed the definition of workplace doesn't include a private dwelling. So I think we would actually have to debate on this particular issue much more than we are doing at the current moment. And you have just made an example of how in many instances domestic workers are integrated into a family. But it doesn't mean that they don't have a right to decent healthcare, decent working conditions for where they are working. But I think currently legislation banning tobacco into private dwellings would be a impossible nightmare, as you have indicated, so I don't think this piece of legislation has intention to ban tobacco, because this is what we are, in terms of a general application, that tobacco use must be banned clearly. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I might propose we leave it as is with the amendment of WILD instead of F. 2 points. One is that I think it does create a regulation nightmare. You know, when we deal with public places, we have the clause which then allows you to apply for designated area. So would that not logically have to be transferred to a home while in commercial activities? And you could potentially have thousands of people then applying to the minister for a designated smoking room in one's own house when there is some other commercial activity going on. So I suspect that that is unachievable. My second point is a more philosophical point, and that is that I think smoking legislation has come a long way in South Africa, and while there's a lot of resistance at the start, people have moved. I think the private dwelling is a very important place for the individual and society, I would say, you know, when we look at the legislation, we aren't writing legislation now, just it's going to stop and then we're never ever going to change it again. So I'd like to see we've taken a great step forward, and I think protecting children is one of the key parts of this bill, and this is an excellent clause on protecting children, and I think we should be happy with that, and in time there may be need to amend it, but for the moment I'm saying, yeah, hands off private dwelling in the general sense.
Technology. I don't know, Chair, but for me I think this whole legislation was done to protect the well-being of everyone, not only a specific group of people. And I want to believe that in this era or in this decade that we live in, we have domestic workers who work in our houses, and those are really tremendous workplace areas. There's no way we can run away from them, whether it's in a house or whatever, but wherever that, where we find them, it's a workplace. That's why it's actually been regulated that you must teach with, that you provided with UIS and all the other things. So I would like to agree with that, what the Honorable Member said. Yes, what the Member said, that we should put the word workplace, the way she had said to us that we should, I've forgotten how he had put the statement, but for me, when at the end of the statement we have the word workplace, for me it will actually cover everything, where anyone can come and say, but why have you left the domestic worker? Can actually say, we have a concept of workplace, and in that workplace, that's where the domestic workers are being included. For me, it's a comprehensive word enough, and I think we'll be diplomatic in that way. But if we are just going to stick to the word commercial and only say children, schooling, and tutoring, I think we have missed it. And definitely we'll have to stand up to answer whatever challenges that we can call.
Thank you very much.
I was going to say, I'm not totally opposed to us taking a progressive approach, because obviously people will change the culture one step at a time. But if we were going to just say use for any commercial activity, we would then have to add in the child care situation, because a lot of child care may not be commercial activity. You could have someone looking after children in the ministry or whatever. So we would have to really get very complicated.
So, honored members, I think, I don't know.
The 1993 legislation said that to prohibit or limit smoking in public spaces. That was part of the intensity of the film. Am I right? All what we are doing, in the same mind, is a progression from there and trying to move us towards the step of addressing the initial spirit in the principal act that said to prohibit or limit smoking in public places. So that's all what he's trying to say. And in this regard, over time, there's an evolving view around this particular definition. In this regard, therefore, we have come to realize certain commercial places that are used and are defined, therefore, there's a particular definition of the public place, includes the workplace, blah, blah, and then this workplace is used for this particular issue. But you see, the problem, I think, as the Honorable Madeira was saying, and Honorable Morgan and others, is the problem we must always bear in mind, you know. I get the point Honorable Tiger raises around the question of the domestic, and I think it's a very notable position she adopts in this regard. But all of us, maybe we're trying to apply our minds, to what extent then are we going to implement and police what is actually being proposed? If we are going along with that proposal, are we going to police it? How? And then if we can answer this question, maybe we'll be able to then come with an adoption around this question. And now,
around that in terms of people being able to get work and not smoking. So we maybe don't want to go too soft on that until people have changed their thinking and favor.
I was just looking at what other aspects of the Act could possibly cover that. I'm just wondering, under 5, where it says an employer must ensure that employees who do not want to be exposed to tobacco smoke in the workplace are not fully exposed. I don't know from a legal point of view if you say, but if you say workplace and private jetty are not fully exposed, so it means that if somebody objects to a domestic worker in a private jetty to say that they do not want to be exposed to tobacco smoke, it's covered
that manner. But I'm sure you are aware, Honorable Dr. Chase, that domestic workers are vulnerable workers. Those rights may be good for you and I, but for the domestic, they simply do their job. So it doesn't apply. Retain it with while instead of if, as suggested earlier on. As the now FM proposal, let's change if to while that private dwelling is used for any commercial childcare activity or for schooling for children. As a proposal. Agreed. Welcome, Honorable Lawrence Balti. Yeah, he's in behind us. After tea, you come next to the seat near Abbey. Thank you very much. All agreed now with that one? Thank you very much. Two, the owner of or a person in control of a place or an area contemplated in subsection 1A or an employer in respect of a workplace shall ensure that no person smokes in that air, place or area. Thank you very much. Now your next one. I can see your hand. Thank you very much. Agreed? Three, the minister may prohibit the smoking of any tobacco product in any prescribed outdoor public place or such portion of an outdoor public place as may be prescribed where persons are likely to congregate within close proximity of one another or where smoking may pose a fire or other hazard. It means that stadium may be defined as one smoking one other contribution. The owner of or a person in control of a place or area contemplated in subsection 1A or an employer in respect of a workplace shall display the prescribed signs and shall make the prescribed public announcement in order to inform any person who enters or who is in or on such a place or area of any prohibition on smoking.
An employer
must ensure that A, employees may object to smoking in the workplace in contravention without retaliation of any kind. Employees who do not want to be exposed to smoke, to bubble smoke in the workplace are not so exposed. Employees who do not want to be exposed to tobacco smoke in the workplace are not so exposed. Can you read it properly? Let me read it for you then. Again, A says, employees may object to smoking in the workplace in contravention of this act without retaliation of any kind. B, employees who do not want to be exposed to tobacco smoke in the workplace are not so exposed.
Thank you, Chief. I really see us in a cash relief situation, even though we have actually agreed. I am back to subsection C again. But we only talk of commercial and we look at the children, the schooling and tutors. I really feel now I'm getting more confused now by section. Five subjects A and B. He talked of a workplace. And we have actually even said domestic workers do work in the workplace. And we have actually even said they are vulnerable. They cannot come up and say, I don't want to be exposed. So now that we left section C as it was, and here we are talking about workplace without making any reference to commercial use. I see myself in a very difficult situation. And perhaps we need to talk on this section so that we can all be finished between the three. And what actually was the lawmaker intending to achieve at the end of the day?
No. C, Honorable Sache, talks of a private dwelling used for commercial purposes. Am I right? And then five now specifically doesn't talk of a private dwelling. Talk of a workplace. Now, you recall that we already went to your page 3, line 32. Public place means any indoor enclosed or partially enclosed area which is open to the public and includes the workplace and a public conveyance. We have deleted club. So that was just read the definition earlier on. So public place includes a workplace, but also indoor or enclosed or partially enclosed. In this regard, therefore, that enclosed will be the private dwelling used for commercial purposes. And in this regard, we're saying let's protect the vulnerable again here, which is the children or your learners, school or your children, etc. Now here, your A talks of employees and workplace. B talks of employees and workplace. Suggest let's go for tea. And that the employees who do so are not required to sign in the meeting. Quite a very progressive provision, but can we get your guidance?
Yeah, I think for my check, section 5C, B, covers the concerns of the Honorable Draghi. I'm saying this because in any workplace, the employer will ensure that the employee is not exposed. So I think that covers the concerns raised by Honorable Saki.
Any problem under 5, A, B, C, D? Not up to that.
I still think here that we perhaps are really on default in terms of this workplace issue. Because there could be a loophole, if people want to get around it, somebody could sleep at night at the place and it becomes a dwelling, or businesses start moving into what could be private dwellings to avoid the smoking issue. So I'm not sure now that we actually, that a workplace is a workplace if people are working there. And during the time that people are working there, there should be no smoking. And that's where the wild sorted that out. So I was going to suggest here that we just include the private dwelling here that we know is excluded by the definition of workplace. But perhaps we do need to go back to look at the definition of workplace because it's very complicated to include and exclude all the way along. And maybe when it comes to the workplace definition, it needs to just be clearly that where a private dwelling is used for where workers are working in a private dwelling, that these considerations are.
The workplace is any enclosed or part controlled area in which employees perform the duties of their employment. That is essentially what it says. Now, in a private dwelling, if a person is employed there, that is an employee-employer relationship. So it is covered there, to my mind, that includes a private dwelling, because a person is employed there, that is a contractual relationship between a person and a family, or between two people. So to my mind, this is very adequately covered. I don't think we need to make specific reference here to that the workplace includes a private or even private environment. But I would want to come back to this point that you have raised under 5. I think indeed that you have indicated a very progressive section, but in fact, or the current and the actual work of the recent act, and in particular also the laws that say, because it places a responsibility on the employer to indeed take care with regard to the health of the employee, and in this particular case, it relates to inhaling of tobacco or smoke. Because as we all agree, the tobacco smoke inhaling is indeed has certain detrimental effects on one's health. And certainly this section places that responsibility on the employer. And I think as indicated here, it is adequately addresses that particular situation. So yes, I understand the issue that Honorable Dudley is raising, but I don't think we need to go that particular language to include private dwellings here, because as the definition clearly indicates, if it is covered there, it was up.
We would then, in the main act, would be C. Section C, which excludes any private dwellings. We could leave it excluding any portion of an area, and then we could exclude the private dwelling after working hours. So that during working hours the private dwelling is included, and after working hours the private dwelling is excluded.
I'll just try to get the your F93, am I right?
Yes.
83 of 93. Where? What is
the...
Oh, yes.
We all have the... That's the Tobacco Product Control Act of 83 of 93. Am I right?
Yes.
Do we all have the copy?
Yes.
Maureen? Check your package. Where you find the workplace, am I right? You can help us there. Are we all together? Honorable Dartia, can you help us there? Can you profit?
Number one definition, the word workplace, and then under that you've got A, B, and C. A and B clearly define workplace, C excludes private dwelling. My suggestion is that we exclude private dwelling during the hours that they are used. So we exclude private dwellings after the hours that have been used for for as a workplace. Excluding any private dwelling outside of
which is not a condition
of employment. Oh, no, I see what you're saying. No, the thought is here that we perhaps need to add into this amendment bill an amendment to the definition of workplace. So it would be clearly, it would come then under section 1, yeah, probably J.
Yes, thank you, Jay. Okay, the definition in the 96 excludes private dwellings. And the intention of the act is to say clearly a private dwelling is not a place where an employee-employer relationship. Now, a private dwelling in terms of the intention of the legislature, yes, means every home that belongs to somebody. It's a private, person. The intention of the act is not to interfere and regulate that kind of person. Now, the issue that we are discussing now in relation to private rights is being used in the typical clause as a commercial activity, and we specify that person in relation to children. What we are discussing now is whether the issue of domestic workers are covered by the notion of a private dwelling. My contention is, Chairperson, that we are guided by the employee-employer relationship certainly, I'm not comfortable that we would want to include private dwellings, which means that the size of 20 million homes that we have in the country, they will all constitute private dwellings, and the impossibility of such aspects of this legislation would be much more than a nightmare. I think the intention of this piece of legislation is to place a responsibility on the employer, whether the employee-employer relationship person, and where the private dwelling that we said earlier is used as a commercial activity assessment. Thank you.
What I'm hearing, I do have my proposal as to how we could change that, but what I'm hearing is that it would bring other complications, in which case then I'm proposing that the suggestion there is that we just exclude the private dwelling then in terms of the of page 4, 5, C.
Page 4, 5,
C. That gives the employee the right not to be exposed if they so wish not to be exposed, and in which case then the employer would have to make sure they're not smoking in the room that the employee is in.
Okay.
Does it talk of a private wedding?
So the suggestion then would be employees who do not want to be exposed to tobacco smoke in the workplace, including private dwellings functioning as workplaces, are not co-exposed.
Yeah, Chairperson, I think you will be creating a contradiction. We'll be creating a contradiction because you're saying that in a private clinic, then the owner is at liberty to smoke. And then you say you also must ensure that the domestic worker is not exposed to smoke. And I'm just having a feeling that you are actually contradicting yourself.
I was trying to make a cigar from that. I was going to propose we keep this section 5 as it is. I think we've created an exclusion for workplaces where they're for use for childcare activity, which is excellent intention. And here, we might get to the cross that line, where if I said earlier, you know, you don't have to have 100% support, but you still need a material number, like a large amount. Here, I think we might just open the law up to ridicule, because people would blatantly flout it, and they would disrespect this process, because it would, I don't mean, kind of vague how it would. So, I suggest you find far enough for the moment.
Okay, well, if the alternative was currently work, that would have been making a change to the actual definition of workplace, which would then C would have read excludes any private dwelling functioning as a workplace outside of designated working hours, and then it would continue and any portion of it, etc., which would then give the owners of that dwelling liberty to smoke as they like after working hours. But whilst they choose to use, because remember they're choosing to use their home as a place of somebody's work. So during that time they would then not smoke in their house. Outside of those hours they would have liberty. So I think that the intention of this bill is not to regulate private dwelling as such, but it has prescribed on certain areas, because I think the bill has completely made us aware that some of the private dwellings are schools or are studs for our children. Now, I heard someone mentioning issues of rights and everything. Indeed, when you look into the law, both are exposed to their rights. For instance, like I've been saying, that the intention of this piece of legislation is not like to suggest to private ownership what to be done. But what is important maybe is to make us aware that there is a need for a policy in each and every workplace. Maybe one needs to say that there is a need for a tobacco a policy in each and every a workplace. But I would agree with everyone who's saying 5 A, B, C, D in totality sets the purpose of the bill. Because when you look into it broadly, that is where you would bring your restaurant in, that is where you would bring the industry in, that is where you bring everything in, because that is the actual sense of the bill. In this 5 ABCD.
Thank you.
What I would say is, can we get you to see the amendment that was made in the committee that we give to hide? I will come back and do that amendment. One year. Okay.
No, not 5C, that is your one, two, one C, right? 2-1-C, that is the your line above 5. Do we now have any problems with that provision?
The suggestion that came where we said is used for any commercial activity, the initial suggestion was that we stop there. I still think it's useful to say any commercial activity, comma, childcare activity or schooling or tutoring, because then that would at least block that one loophole of homes being used for commercial activity to avoid the smoking restriction. And
we've got
the word while, that doesn't make it entirely
restrictive. No, that's a very fundamental, that's a fundamental provision. Instead of say, while that private dwelling is used for any commercial child care activity, rather say, while used for commercial activity including, got a substantial amendment. Can you get your opinion on that, members? I was brought back to see, that's why. Can you get our lawyers to help us in the meanwhile, members? Parliamentary law, legal advisors, or state law advisors in the meanwhile? Because I think that's a very important and substantial amendment from Honorable Tati.
The only problem that I see with commercial activities won't really cater for the domestic workers. But what is commercial activity? I'm not sure if it goes for that. That is the only concern that I have.
No, yeah, necessarily, I think the owner of that is actually very careful not to use this case domestic worker for that debate. Yes, he's an extensive project. But she says commercial is in as far as it means they are used as offices for lawyers, for secretarial offices, etc. And then including child care, schooling, and tutoring. Am I right?
Yes, rather than including child care, it would probably be better commercial activity, common child care activity, or schooling or
I think in the debate earlier, one made reference to that, certainly, we don't have a problem with this proposal, and certainly want to support it. If that's what I want to add to that.
Yeah, but
notwithstanding maybe the implementability and the policy after of it, notwithstanding this problem. Am I right? We are talking. We agree. Commercial activity, comma, child care, etc., etc., etc. That's as a second as the Honorable Enzo Matela. Honorable Morgan.
Okay. Our problem in Quebec was the effect. We have we have in other workplaces the ability to place or designate smoking areas. That doesn't exist now in this area. So that we might have to make provisions. If it's not somehow already included, which I suspect it's not, as we now are talking about private dwellings, whether a person who has a commercial activity, whatever that may mean, presumably that you have zoning permission, doesn't then also have to apply for a designated smoking area, and yet we that hasn't been included.
So maybe a flip question, and based on a fundamental constitutional right to privacy, what are we, what will be actually saying, or what will be actually trying to achieve with this act, and trying to tamper into the rights of other people? That is why later on I was saying, the intention is not to actually try to regulate areas which are owned privately by many of our people in the country. But the intention is to make aware to those people who are running businesses from their private property that this act is intending to achieve 1, 2, 3. Because I think everything that we are trying to do should be based upon the constitution of this country. Now, we don't actually try to regulate or try to prescribe to those private dwellers on how to run their business or how to do, but to make them aware that smoking within the country or in the country should be regulated around 1, 2, 3, 4. That is what this piece of legislation is intended to do.
No, equally, I think that's the point Honorable Dutch is saying. But in as far that private dwelling is used for commercial activities, comma, childcare, cooling, or tutor, she doesn't actually have a blanket to continue with it. Am I right, Honorable Dutch? Am I right?
Yeah.
There's a fundamental proposal. I want to put it to yourselves, Honorable members. You want us to flag and come back to it? Do you agree? No. Agree to adjourn the proposal from Dudley that no person may smoke any tobacco product in a private dwelling while that private dwelling is used for any commercial activity, comma, blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
It actually doesn't need to be a commercial activity. It really just, and the word commercial must come off the child care services. So whilst it is used for any child care activity or for schooling or tutoring or activity where someone is employed, because you know whether it's commercial or not, it's really what we're getting at is that if there's people working there, you know, we're not getting at whether it's a commercial activity. If I'm ministering to children or to even to people, and people are and I'm smoking and putting people at risk. So I think what we're trying to get that domestic worker in there. So the commercial activity is only relevant if it's about people working in the home. If it's a commercial activity where the smoker is working alone, it's not an issue, is it? Because we probably all agree that smoker has the choice to smoke or not. But if the smoker is employing people, then it's a regular workplace, like anywhere else during those hours. So we do need the legal advisors to give us the right wording, where we actually not just saying that if there's a one-man business and that one-man business decides to smoke, now suddenly can't smoke. But if there's a business that's going to employ anybody, then that workplace, and that's why I thought it would might be better to change the workplace definition.
One-man business, is it not under five, one employer? But no, 2C was talking about the private wedding in relation to certain activities used in that private wedding. The one man business will still apply. But now you see your amendment would in a way smuggle back the debate and discussion around the domestic. And then it's going to, of course, have other consequences. That's a problem we are having. Retain child care, schooling, tutoring. There's a state to advise us.
I'm just a little worried that if you take out commercial, then a parent, where there's child care, I mean, in the house with children, there's child care activities, so any house would then fall in this exclusion.
Another member, the proposed we adopt to go back to the proposed adoption while that is used for commercial activity, for commercial child care activity, etc. I think that's the safest way of doing it.
We'll come back here on 5 feet.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
So we adopt once again C in this regard. Can I take you back to 5? 5A, B, C, D. I don't want to read it again. S-E. Thank you very much. 6.
Could you call our recommendation on the...
What is it?
Employees who do not want to be exposed to tobacco smoke in the workplace, including private dwellings, functioning as workplaces, are not so exposed.
That's not B.
Yeah.
Can you read it?
Employees who do not want to be exposed to tobacco smoke in the workplace, including private dwellings, functioning as workplaces, are not so exposed.
Commissioner Chair, I think that proposal is the one that I said is the conservation. Because you exclude your private debt from this non-proposal. But then now, this proposal actually puts back a private debt that is prohibited, and the house owner must ensure that the domestic worker is not exposed from smoking. But on the one side, you give him the right to smoke in his house. And the other side, you say, ensure that the domestic worker is not exposed to smoke. And my understanding is it just creates confusion and a contradiction. Because if the house owner smokes in the lodge, and the domestic worker is in the laundry, and then when the domestic worker comes to the lodge, then the house is stopped. Because you actually give the owner the right to smoke. But then you say, no, you must ensure that this worker is not exposed to smoke. And that's where I have a problem with this second proposal. Unless if the proposal is effective in the upper definition, but not here, it doesn't change the other shop. And then at the bottom under 5, then it can't survive.
Thanks. Morgan?
Not to add any more to that, because I'm happy with it, but just one of my sort of more philosophical points again, is that when we go into the private dwelling and look at it and legislate around it, I'm not sure if we have any idea of the effects of it in real terms. We can only speculate what the effects are. And I think what these kind of provisions actually detail regulatory impact effects to actually see what would the effect be, if any, on the employment of domestic workers and so on, as vulnerable workers in society. Would it practically help, or would people just be too fearful to bring it up in that kind of environment? So I feel that without knowing if the results of a regulatory impact assessment, I'm not sure we should add anything more to it as just in this current amendment.
Take the proposal of the Democratic Alliance. Agreed with this. We note the concern that you raised. Maybe we'll come with another proposal, maybe for the better for Michigan. But in the meanwhile, can you gravitate towards the proposal from Honorable Morgan? Okay. Thank you very much. 6. The owner of or person in control of the place or area contemplated in section subsection 1A or employer in respect of the workplace shall ensure that no person under the age of 18 years is present in any portion of the workplace where smoking is permitted, or in the area within a public place contemplated in 1B, or in or on which smoking is permitted. Seven. Section 80 to 82 and 84 to 89 of the National Health Act 2003, Act Number 61 of 2003, apply with the necessary changes to this section. March. We go to 3, Honorable Members. You proceed. Section 80 to 82 and 84 to 89 of the National Health Act, Act 61 of 2003, apply with the necessary changes to this act. Substitution of 3A of Act 23 of 1993 as inserted by Section 5 of Act 12 of 1999. The following section is hereby substituted for Section 3A of the Principal Act. 3A 1. No person shall manufacture a tobacco product unless it complies with such standards as may be prescribed.
3.
Every manufacturer of the tobacco product shall provide such information about the product and its emission to the minister and the public as may be prescribed in the prescribed manner and within the prescribed time. No person shall export a tobacco product from the Republic unless the tobacco product meets the product and testing standards of the country of final destination.
if no such standard exists in this in the country of final destination, the provision of this section applies. 4. Section 6 of the Queensland Act is hereby I'm sorry.
I don't have a problem with this, but I just recall that there was a suggestion that it be moved there, and I just wondered if that had been looked into.
Section 6 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by A, the substitution of Section 1 for the paragraph A of the following paragraph A. Anything that must or may be described in terms of this Act there we proceed. Thank you very much. The substitution in subsection 1 for paragraph 6E of the following paragraph respectively. C. The location, content, size, and format of any sign required in terms of this act. The standards that a tobacco product must comply with, including 1, the amount of substance that may be contained in the product or its emission, substances that may or may not be added to the product, the emission propensity of cigarettes, and the product design and composition. Methods to assess conformity and methods of testing and measuring compliance with any prescribed standard. F, subject to Chapter 2 of the Constitution, any information that the manufacturer of a tobacco product must submit to the Minister and to the public, including information in respect of 1, research conducted into a tobacco product by a manufacturer or by a person who conducted research paid for, in whole or in part by a tobacco manufacturer, the quantity of a tobacco product manufactured, marketing expenditure, and information on product composition, ingredients, hazardous properties, and emissions. Great. Honorable Morgan.
Sure, I do have a problem with air. First, not the entire part of it, though. I have a problem with 4FI, research conducted in such tobacco products by a manufacturer or by a person who conducted research paid for and held. As far as I'm concerned, that kind of research is private research and should only be in the hands of the manufacturer. And so I would propose certainly that I is deleted. And secondly, also 3, numeral 3, I would also propose we delete because of the nature of competitiveness in the industry. I think that that is sensitive information and is of no value to the consumer. I suspect that the state itself has numerous ways of enforcing this legislation and doesn't need it. I have less of a problem of the quantity of the tobacco product manufactured and information on product composition. I think that there's merit in this, but I don't support 4I and 4.3 thrown in.
Where it should be submit to the minister and to the public, it could be submit to the minister or to the public, and I believe that was a submission that was made. So it would read tobacco product must submit to the minister or to the public, including information in respect of. Mm-hmm. So that is just the choice. It is not necessarily the minister that has to receive it out to fill that.
My view on this is that any information that is allowed here, and you've got my views on what I don't think should be in there, should actually just go to the minister. I think that it's incumbent on the minister to use that information cautiously to inform of any particular risk or to inform decision making. With regards to the regulations, so I'm actually not happy with to the public either. So I would remove public and I and three, because I mean the minister is in a position of care over the department.
What happens?
I'm not sure. Let's take
concerns from the public in as far as the adverse consequences of smoking and may therefore in this regard for the interest of the public either in its lobby, either in its campaign, whatever, may want information around some of these things to argue their case and they want to access this information within the provision of the legislation is your section Chapter 2 of the Constitution, where there are certain limitations, and as well as the Access to Information Act of 2000, the public may also is allowed to demand information. Are we going to block it?
Well, the Access to Information Act is directed at public entities, not tobacco manufacturers. I certainly agree. We must have. I don't think that cigarette companies should be able to hide behind what products they put in to the, and that's why I think 4 should definitely be in. I'm not sure practically how the public has a right to approach a private company for information, anything beyond that which is declared in their annual statement, which is in that respect governed by the Company Act. So I'm more interested here, and believe me, I'm not a big defender of the tobacco industry by any means, even though I've made team that here. I'm more interested here in protecting the ability of the players in the industry to be able to
compete effectively, and that means that certain information should only be for their eyes and not for the eyes of indeed their competitors. But I'm happy with product competition, must say, and the minister has a right to know that and obviously can use that as he or she sees fit. But I'm not happy about 1 and 3.
So during the public hearing, one of the that's Philip Morris has been asked a question around the whole thing on F, because it suggests that the disclosure of information in terms of section 32(1)(b) of the constitution. And they made a progressive statement by saying, if only that information will never be availed to our competitors, we are much more comfortable with the section in totality. Therefore, Chair, I would think that again should inform us while dealing with this bill, that at least, even if the minister has to assess any information around the whole thing. Imperative measures in terms of the constitution, the state law advisors give advice on that day around the issue. That indeed the information will be kept. The information will not be disclosed to any competitors or what it is. Therefore, I would suggest, Chair, that at this stage, maybe we leave this section as it is. Thank you.
Just clarify, Mr. Trump, that she has got information. Access to information has, can the public use the provision of this legislation, to demand information from the industry?
Who can help us? Who can help us at what? I think the point Honorable Morgan raises becomes crucial in as far as we are able to answer this specific question. Then we can then enter into other discussions. We've got the legislation, now somebody who's a lawyer must help with that. So that can be explained to you. Can you sit here and explain to you?
Thank you, Chief President. Section 36 of the Rights Act, the Information Act, states the mandatory protection of commercial information of third parties. The subject to Section Subsection 2 the information officer of the public body must refuse a request for access to the record of the body if the record contains trade secrets of a third party.
That's not their concern. But I'm saying that can the public demand that information within those constraints as provided in the Access Information Act? They demand, but use it for their purposes, but don't use it for outside purposes.
Chairperson, the way that I understand the section here is if the public, if the information is in the department's possession, and the public requests that information from the department is mandatory obliged to refuse such information, dissemination of that information.
Indeed.
Yeah, we can't release it to the public sector.
Kind of.
Yes, no.
So the amendment,
maybe,
therefore, that's
trade secrets of that company.
So the amendment that says they must submit to the minister or to the public. What are we saying?
Just a question of clarity to the law advisors or to the partners. Okay, let's say that that is executed according to the law, there'd probably be less of a problem. Why is it that in the bill then it says and to the public? Surely that is something that we can exclude from the law? Because my view, Mr. Chair, is that the minister has a duty of care anyway. And that this is confusing, and may open up some loophole for releasing trade secrets. I think it is important that if the minister is going to know, no one else should be able to know, although the minister can act on it in some way.
In other words, we are saying we delete and to the public, and say the minister must submit the information to the minister, including information in respect of Roman 1 to 4. Honorable Dudley?
Obviously, we know that the Constitution can be limited in terms of legislation where it's reasonable. The thing that no one's contesting is that the composition has to be. Now, the composition to me would be the one thing that perhaps you wouldn't want your opposition to have. So, in light of the fact that everyone's agreeing that the composition must be in the hands of the minister, why is it then such a problem for the public to know what research has been done? And in fact, if the public are consuming this stuff, they should know the composition. So personally, I'm not so sure that we should take out and or to the public, or just and to the public.
Yeah, Chair, I was of the opinion that the right to the access of information actually empowers the public, you know, to have the information that is kept in the, by the minister, if they can really justify that it is to their interest. And therefore, your last proposal, Chair, to remove and to the public, I think it really doesn't change the situation, because the public will still have the right to that information to the other legislation.
What it says here, Honorable Mashile, this is a concern, that it says the information must be provided to the minister and to the public. Whereas you may then say it must be provided to the minister, and the public may then request that information from the minister. So the proposal is, do we delete and to the public?
Perhaps here is where I can come in with the principal representative of my party here says. Perhaps I can now be in a position to read what she said here. I never had time to talk to her because she's in hospital. She is saying here, the IAP supports the purpose of the bill to regulate all tobacco products, mostly so as to reduce the enticement to young persons to become smokers and to prevent tobacco addiction. Since the smoked tobacco and the non-smoked tobacco do not have the same health effects, while both can be addictive and harmful, we propose the allowance of separate regulations for both. It may be that in time, the use of Swedish-style tobacco will require a doctor's prescription for controlled use by persons trying to give up smoking, and that the content will be regulated to reduce addictiveness. I don't know whether it fits in here, but that's what she has written. And then I'll go on with the other section. Hence, the IAP proposes the following amendments to the bill. That's towards the end of this section. In section 4, page 5, to add after G, stating, notwithstanding all of the above, the minister may, by notice in the Gazette, introduce separate regulations for smokeless tobacco products and for smoked tobacco products. That's what she proposed.
Thank you very much, Honorable Shriyani. I think that was the point we discussed around the question of the definition of tobacco products. And remember that definition about pouches and whatever. And there was, of course, so you missed most of the public hearing. Were you part of the public hearing? No, I think that was the point. I think we must also therefore use this opportunity to convey through you, Honorable Speaker, and the good chef, Dr. Rabinovich. We hope that she will recover soon to join us in the activity of the portfolio committee. May I take you back to F, Honorable Member? Honorable Jackie?
Whilst all of these points, there may be good reason for them to be submitted to the minister, there's definitely two of these points where there's good reason for the public to have immediate access, and I don't see any reason why 1 and 4 shouldn't be sent to the public, whereas the other, you know, the other two would be limited to the minister.
Honorable Morgan.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I agree. I would suggest this possibly redrafted in such a way that some of these things can go to the minister, and some of these things to the minister and the public. So, for instance, and we can debate these, I would argue, agreeing with the Honourable Dudley, that certainly information on product composition, ingredients, hazards, properties, and emissions is something that should go to both. Because along with that goes things like the warnings and so on. There are practicalities that obviously flow from that, which I would hope would be reasonably looked at. I mean, if there's 600 chemicals, not with more than a box, but you should certainly, the public have that information. If not in a box, certainly on website and so on. So that for me is suggestion. I agree with that could be both. But the issue that relates to internal research and issues of trade competitiveness, I think should be separate and should be only going to the minister on the belief, which I have no reason to doubt, that information is
becomes gentle. Although, Honorable Cotty did raise an interesting question, is what happens then if people then apply for that information through the Access to Information Act, through the minister, who then has that information. That's an issue I haven't actually thought about. But then, of course, that information can possibly be released. But for the moment, I certainly would want to separate.
May I take this opportunity to suggest we suspend the discussion for today, 1 o'clock, and we'll meet again next week and start from F. Maybe by then we have enough time to consider the issues around the issue. Would I be right to do so?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair.